morning sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is the fourth in a sermon series entitled Come Into God's Presence. In this series, we are looking at biblical worship, and we're finding that what the Bible says about worship informs our spiritual life in general, speaking to us about who God is and how we can authentically live in God's presence. Let's be for a moment in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When we look at world religion, we find that there are certain fundamental symbols that appear across world religions with similar meanings. Over the past 2 weeks, we've looked at the use of sanctuaries or sacred spaces, which appear universally in religion, and we have looked at the image of holy food, which again appears across religions. Today, we are looking at yet another archetypal symbol, the image of holy fire. Fire appears as a central element in many religious rites. In Zoroastrianism, for example, the sanctuaries are called fire temples, where there is a fire that is kept burning continually. In the ancient Jerusalem temple, there was a fire that was burning on the altar, and there was an Old Testament law that said the fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. We have a small reflection of that here in our sanctuary in the narthex, or the entry area, where there is an eternal flame, which in our case is an electric lamp that is always on. It is a symbol of the fire or light of God that is never extinguished. In many ways, fire is a natural symbol for the nature of God. Fire is mysterious, it is powerful, it is dangerous and not to be messed with. When God appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai, in the story from which we heard in one of our scripture readings today, it is said that fire came upon the mountaintop, and the people were warned to keep their distance because human beings, as sinners, could not just stroll into the presence of God. We deal cautiously with fire, and in this respect, the symbol of fire reminds us that we rightfully relate to God with respect and awe. As the book of Hebrews puts it, let us offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. At the same time, fire can be pleasant and heartening, as when we gather around a fire in a cool evening. Fire brings warmth and comfort, a good image for the comfort that God gives in life. Fire provides light. Today, we click on a light switch and don't think much about the connection between fire and light. But in ancient times, the lamps were all flames of fire. So in the ancient temple, the lampstand, as we noted a few weeks ago, that was there was burning with oil continuously burning. Fire thus becomes a symbol for the caring guidance of God. In one of our Old Testament readings this morning, we heard about how God guided the people of Israel through the wilderness by means of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. The pillar of fire moved before the people, and so it was a picture of how God lights our way, guiding us through life when we direct our vision toward God and follow as God leads. As the psalmist would later say, the unfolding of your word, O Lord, gives light. Fire also transforms. It turns one thing into another. The fire on your grill turns raw meat into a tasty dinner. In ancient times, fire was used to turn clay mud into pottery or bricks. Fire was used to turn metallic ores into valuable metal or even alloys such as bronze. Fire was thus a key image for how God could bring about powerful transformation in human life. In these various ways, fire symbolizes the working of God. It is significant that when Moses encountered God, an experience that would change the direction of his life, the Lord, the scripture says, appeared to him in a flame of fire. Fire symbolizes the very presence of God connecting with us and calling us. All this is why we have a flame of fire in our worship services in the candles on the altar. And it is why we have an entire Acolyte program for young people, which particularly highlights the fire image here at our 10:30 service. Our Acolytes put on a special robe, something I'll talk more about next week, and they engage in a special ritual for the light of the candles at the start of the worship hour. They process forward, carrying the candle in special brass candlelighters. They ceremoniously light the candles on the altar. We talk to our young people during Acolyte training about why they do this. It is not because we think candles look pretty. It is because fire symbolizes the presence and the working of God among us today. Fire is an especially appropriate symbol for God because without fire, especially without that blazing ball of fire up in the sky, all of life would not even exist. When we use fire as an image for God, it reminds us that God is the foundation of existence, the power that energizes all things. The biblical imagery of holy fire comes to a culmination and focus in Jesus Christ. When Jesus, at the start of his public ministry, came for baptism, John the Baptist said of him that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You can understand what John the Baptist meant by that when you keep in mind all that we've noted about the biblical symbol of fire. To baptize with fire means that through Jesus, people would be filled with the presence of God. They would be transformed by the power of God. They would be guided and comforted by God, and they would worship God with reverence. All this began to happen in a profound way soon after the resurrection, when the disciples on Pentecost were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the scripture tells us that they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire resting on each of them. Filled with the fire of God's Spirit, they went forth with zeal, empowered to be in ministry in new ways, glorifying and praising God. Today, we represent that baptism of the Holy Spirit in our United Methodist cross and flame symbol, which appears in multiple ways in all of our worship spaces. It is featured on the central wall of our 9:30 worship space. It appears on the clergy robe that I most commonly wear at our traditional services. It's prominently on the sign in front of the whole church building. It's engraved into the side of the new organ console, and it is in the middle of the main or central structure in the new chapel in the woods that we are building right behind the church. All that reminds us that, like the first disciples, as we open ourselves in faith to the risen Christ, we can be filled with the transforming, comforting, and guiding presence of God's Spirit, empowering us to serve and praise God today. In our worship, we especially use the image of fire on Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter, when we remember the beginning of the church, when the Holy Spirit filled the first disciples, and we symbolize the fire through the color red. We have red geraniums on that day in our worship spaces, and we start using the red pyramids in the sanctuary, which are still here this morning. It moves us to think of how the Holy Spirit continues to move among us today, to energize us in faith and in mission. Many years ago, there was a small village in which there was one church in the middle of town. Pretty much everyone in the village went to the church, but there was one man who would never go anywhere near the church. He did not really believe, and he considered the church to be a completely dull place. He wanted nothing to do with church. One day, the church building caught on fire. Everyone in the village ran toward the church to try to extinguish the blaze. And this man also was running toward the church. Someone called out to him and said, "Hey, this is the first time I've ever seen you going to church." He replied, "It's the first time I've seen the church on fire." Hopefully, as Christians today, we are on fire in the sense that we are filled with the excitement of being disciples of Jesus Christ and the fervor to carry out God's work today. If you look at the dedication of so many people in our church and the extent of our mission work as a congregation, you can see that the fire of the Holy Spirit is in fact burning bright in many people right here in this congregation. Along with the imagery of fire, a related imagery appears in the ministry of Jesus in his teaching about light. As Jesus said of himself, "I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." These words call to mind foundational images out of the Old Testament. You could think of the creation story, how in the midst of darkness, God said, "Let there be light." Or you could think of that story, the pillar of fire guiding the people through the wilderness. It shone before them so that they were not walking in darkness, but were walking in the light of God. So Jesus is the light for us, driving back the darkness of evil and despair, leading us in God's ways. We symbolize that in a very special way in our Christmas Eve services, when our candlelight services perfectly combine the symbols of fire and light. In a darkened sanctuary, light coming forth from the Christ candle drives the darkness away. The other key aspect of that candlelight service is that the light spreads by people passing the light to others, and finally, lifting all their candles high. This recalls the other memorable words of Jesus about light when he said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Clearly, if our world today is not to be a place of darkness, we need to let the light of Christ shine through us. Here in our 10:30 service at the very end, the acolyte takes the light from the altar candles and carries it out. Again, we explain to our acolytes that this is not just a way of putting the candles out. The symbolism is that the light of Christ goes forth and leads us forth into the world. Christ is like that pillar of fire in the wilderness, going before us, bringing us into God's purposes and God's promises. As we go forth from all of our worship services, we are committing ourselves to live in that light and to let that light shine forth from us to others. With all this talk about fire, I'm sure that some of you are thinking that there's a certain kind of fire that we do not want to have here in our church. You'll be glad to know that some years ago, Don Ashton led a project to install a sophisticated fire alarm system throughout our church building. It is to ensure that the only real fire in our church will be a spiritual one. But even as that system is designed to prevent fire, there's an aspect of it that relates to our theme this morning. A fire alarm system is not something that you just simply put in place one day and then it's done. It requires ongoing monitoring, testing, maintenance in order to stay effective. In a similar fashion, being filled with the spiritual fire of God is not simply a one-time experience. There are some churches that like to talk about a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which they often think of as being a sudden zap, whereby one day you do not have the fire of the Spirit, and the next day you do. But the biblical imagery of holy fire in worship gives us a very different picture. How do you suppose they kept the fire continually burning on that altar in the temple? They kept stoking the fire. How did they keep the lampstand burning bright in the temple day after day? They kept filling the oil in the lamps. So also, living in the fire of God is a process requiring ongoing engagement. We need to keep stoking our spiritual fire by taking part in spiritual practices, joining in worship, studying the Bible, offering ourselves in Christian service. Here's something of the value of considering biblical worship. It reminds us that authentic spirituality entails a continual growth in the light of God, which happens as we actively take part in worship in the whole life of the church. Then we can experience what Jesus was talking about when he said, "Those who follow me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let us pray. O Lord, in a world that so often is full of darkness, your light shines. We take hold of that promise that the light is indeed shining and will never be extinguished. O Lord, let that fire of your Holy Spirit truly take hold in us, shining brightly within us, empowering us, comforting and guiding us, leading us, O Lord, to join in how you would be at work in our lives today and through our lives as we join in service for the world. Lord, let that light so shine within us that we might indeed become beacons of light, shining forth with your grace and your compassion to others. We thank you, Lord, that here is your church. We can be a people journeying together in faith. We can be people who are joining together to live in your light and who are seeking as a fellowship to be instruments of your care today. We do reach out with concern and prayer to persons in times of particular need. We thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of reaching out into the world at large. We lift up our fellow United Methodists at the Streetsboro United Methodist Church this morning. We pray you would guide us all as we seek to be beacons of hope and care in a troubled world. Lead us, O Lord, as we would look to you with faith, as we open ourselves to the working of your Spirit, so that indeed the fire of your Spirit might indeed be continually kindled in us, that we may live as people who are sharing indeed in your light and spreading that light to the world. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's Notes from the Pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.